Let's join Bruce Jenkins now. Of course, we look through the window of baseball for Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, Marvin Windows, a new location down in the Monterey Peninsula. And Bruce, nice to have you with us today. How are you?
Good, Marty. I love that BP play-by-play. That's about as up-to-date as you can get. There's a shot off the wall.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I'm trying to get Crook on here maybe later on in the show. We'll see if that can happen. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, he's busy now. Right now. All right. Would you mind talking with him, with Mike, if we talk together?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
One of my favorite people in all the world.
Yeah, let's bring him down here, and we'll talk a little pitching with him. You know, Bruce, two weeks to go here. Now things start to get a little more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to formulate really right off the bat, you know, how they're going to deal with the Scudero situation. It seems to be a little bit, the news is a little bit encouraging. I see they've got Andreanza playing second against the A's today. He hasn't played a lot of second base, but if they want him to replace Scudero, that's what they're going to have to do. Of course, Abreu, he's also starting at second base in the other game, and you've got Arias as well. So that's going to be interesting. But I think they believe they're covered there defensively. The really interesting part will be if he can't play, who hits second. I think that'll be something they'll need to sort out.
Well, we're going to bring Bruce. You know who's coming on with me right now, and you're on with Mike Kruko as well. That's Bruce Jenkins.
Jinxie.
Okay, three way.
Jinxie, you going body surfing today? That's all I need to know.
As soon as I hang up, I'm on my way to Ocean Beach.
Are you getting some break out there right now?
It's been incredible this week. It's been pure winter conditions, offshore winds, good size, really getting worked out there, I tell you.
Mike, here we are a couple of weeks to go, and Matt Cain comes out last week, 5 perfect innings. I've watched baseball a long time. I can't tell you the last time I saw a pitcher go 5 perfect down at spring training.
Well, how about Lance Lynn 2 days ago? Went 4 innings.
Struck
went
out
perfect,
the last 8.
Struck out 10 guys.
Yeah, and the last 8 in succession.
Ridiculous. So spring training, you can see some of those things. I don't know if, as a pitcher, if you completely trust it. You heard Madison Bumgarner, who cruised yesterday through 5 solid shutout innings, said that he felt a lot better yesterday than he did the previous outing. You know, you get an umpire who gives you a big strike zone and all the Adam balls get hit to people, and you just don't trust spring training. I think guys prefer to have one outing where they get rocked, they have to back up, have a couple of 30-pitch innings. I think they prefer that in spring training. They prefer to save all the good innings when the season starts. So as nice as it is to see him pitch well, you know, I just don't think he reads a lot into it.
You ever have a great spring training? I mean, like a great spring training?
I have. And, you know, when it happened to me, it happened to me young. And I cruised, in fact, I made the big league team in 1977 having a great spring training. And the more success that I had as we got closer to the bell ring and the season opening, the more fearful I was that the good luck was going to run out. So you don't trust it quite as much as a kid. As you got older, it just didn't make a difference. You got your arm strength up. Bad innings were not bad because they got your strength level up. So you never, ever were questioned or negotiated off your ERA in spring training. So it just once you reach a certain point, as Kane and Bumgarner have, they don't really read a whole lot into it. So,
Bruce,
Bruce,
anything,
of course,
anything
go ahead, Bruce.
Distinctive about the spring when you won 20? Could you see that coming on, maybe the season of your life?
You know what? I didn't have a good start, and I made an adjustment with my hips. I would bring my left leg up as I would get cocked. And I had like a little bit of an extra little lift that allowed me to get gathered, and it was a timing mechanism. And once I perfected that, and it happened in Yuma, we were playing the Padres. I went out there, and it was like, holy smokes! I had all my movement, I had all my velocity, I had all my command with all my pitches, and I was able to maintain it the entire year.
Awesome.
And once you know it, I come back the next year and tried the same timing mechanism, and it never felt right.
Mm. Jeez.
So it can be fleeting at times, but spring training is spring training. You just don't trust them.
You know, it's funny. I was in the club. I had actually a nice talk with Barry Bonds today in the clubhouse, and I'll ask you the question. Greatest baseball player you ever, the most natural athlete, and Bruce, think about it as well. Ask Crook and you, and I'll tell you what Barry Bonds said when I asked him the greatest natural baseball player or athlete he ever saw. So, Crook, I'll start with you. Who might it be?
Well, Barry Bonds. I mean, you're talking about baseball players or athletes in general?
Athletes in, well, who played baseball. and may have played other sports as well.
Well, Barry Bonds, best baseball player that I ever saw, that I could really appreciate. When I saw Mays, I was a kid, and I didn't really appreciate Mays like I appreciated Bonds. But the pure athleticism, when you look at Mays, he could have played any sport. If Mays was being brought up in today's society, he probably would have been a football player, and he would have been unbelievable. I guess, Barry, you could have said he may have been able to play football. I don't know. I think he's more of a pure just baseball player type athlete. But those are the two guys that jump out in my mind.
All right. Bruce, where do you go with that one? Greatest.
Yeah, I'm a little older than Kirk. I was pretty much a kid when I saw Mays, but my memories are so crystal clear. And, into my teens, seeing him in high school, I mean, you're seeing things the way you ought to be, I think. But he was he's the best player. He was the most natural player I've ever seen, too. Everything, he did everything so well. He was an absolute natural. And, he knew it. He knew the game as well as anybody. He had flair. He just had everything. I mean, you talk about Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders, some of the great athletes that have come into baseball. But, I mean, Mays really stands alone for me. Bonds, I'm right there with Bonds, especially as a hitter. But I think for the whole package, to take the base running and, the covering the ground in the outfield, the throwing arm and everything, I'd got to go Mays.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Bo Jackson, Jinx. I'd throw Ricky Henderson into that mix, too.
Yeah,
he did some things physically that I just never saw before. And it's pretty neat. I mean, there are certain things that stop spring training. A guy that throws really hard, a guy that hits the ball a long way, and a guy with lots of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And Henderson was that guy.
Well, I'll tell you what he said, and it was a great conversation. He took Bo Jackson. Of course, he didn't maybe not think of Willie when he said it. But, running up the fence and the home run in the All-Star game, he said and then he'd go play football, a week later and come back and play baseball. To him, this was the most amazing thing he ever saw.
I've got a tape of Bo Jackson, a bat he had against Nolan Ryan one night, a steamy night in Texas, and the bat went on forever. He kept fouling him back. Ryan's throwing the ball about 102 miles an hour. Finally, Jackson just hit one about 600 miles. Everybody's just like, oh, my God.
Well, he came up when you didn't ever face Jack. He was
no,
what?
He was
he
always,
was close
always
to
American
you.
League. I mean, he was in my time.
Close, yeah, that you almost overlapped.
But he was always in the other league, and Kansas City back then trained in Florida, so we never saw him.
Myers.
Which when Bob Brindley, who spent most of his career with the Giants, left in 1989 and started the season with Toronto, he said the only good thing about being in the American League was seeing Bo Jackson play.
Yeah.
And Brindley's not a guy who impressed easily, but he said the guy was just physically, he could do things that he'd never seen other people do.
Yeah. Now, here's the second part of the conversation. I appreciate Mike Kruko being with us, and Bruce Jenkins said, who was the fastest you ever saw? Who was the fastest runner? And I guess it's one of his contemporaries, someone like that. And he was amazed with one player. Kruko, I'll let you go. Fastest maybe you ever saw?
Oh, Deion Sanders.
Yeah, that's who he picked.
Not even close. And the thing about Deion Sanders, he had zero baseball instinct. And I think you determine instinct by the break you get on the base pass and the break you get defensively as a defensive player. I think those two things, that step is pure instinct. And I think had Deion Sanders been able to play a lot of baseball, he would have been somebody that would have been a Hall of Famer. Because I can remember him flat-footed on a ball hit to him in center field where he had none jump. I don't even think he saw it. And it was a gapper. And he cruised over and caught it easily.
Yeah.
And he would do things like that on the base paths as well. Just have none jump and just walk into third on a smash to left field. With him at first base, ball hit on the nose at first base ball hit to left field with no jump and cruise into third base without a slide.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him do that.
Yeah.
Well, who does that?
No. Yeah.
He was faster from first to third than Willie Davis was, and I thought he was the fastest guy I ever saw.
Yeah. Where do you go with that, Bruce?
That's who I was going to say. I mean, I remember Ron LaFleur, Willie Wilson, Ricky, Willie Davis was me in high school at Dodger Stadium, and from first to third, I've never seen anything like it to this day. He was a track guy in high school himself, damn near world class, and man, he could fly, and he just had that style about him too, the hat coming off, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch.
Well, there was a guy from the Montreal organization named Larry Lentz who could fly too. But Vince Coleman was, again, very quick. But there's one coming up right now. If you haven't seen Billy Hamilton with the Reds, watch this kid because he can cook.
Yeah. You know, I saw him Tuesday. I went over to the game in Goodyear. So he gets on right away. Linscomb walks him, right, to start the game. And I said, here we go.
Yeah, good.
Brandon Phillips swings at the first pitch. That's the end of that. Gets on again. Brandon Phillips, first pitch. That's the end of that.
Goodness. Well, he was doing that just to tick you off, Marty.
I think he was. I wanted to see this.
He's kind of at war with the media right now, so he's taking everybody
out. I actually thought about that. I said, you know, so maybe he's just messing around with us or something. But what he said, just to follow up with Bonds, and he was terrific, he said what you guys said. He said he couldn't take a good route to the ball, but always got there. And he was first to third. He talked about going first to third. I brought up Willie Wilson. One day in Miami, it was an exhibition game. I guess I was in Miami watching a game against the Orioles, and I saw this guy go second to first, and I just said I'd never seen anything like that. So for me, it was him. But the other thing about Bonds, what he said about Sanders, he would play football and then come back the next day. You know, he'd play football on Sunday. Tuesday, he'd be in the lineup.
They helicoptered him into a World Series game one Sunday.
How about that?
I was there in Atlanta. Like, here he is.
Of course, you never hit anybody in football, so.
Well, I didn't want to say that. he played two-hand touch.
It's not like he'd be sore going into the Tuesday baseball game. But still, though, I mean, you have that type of speed and that type of you better have some swagger as an athlete if you're going to take on two professional sports.
Boy,
and I always applauded that. And when he left the Giants clubhouse, I said, you're making a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, you could really be something. I know you're going to be something in football. You already are, but I was upset that he left the game. I really was, because I wanted to see him develop.
Last thing that Bond said today, and I'll let you guys go. I love having you on. I said, did any pitch give you trouble? He says, nothing. Nothing ever. He said, the only pitch that gave me trouble is one that I made trouble out of. That maybe I went out of the zone to get. He said, I said, a slider? He said, and he looked at me and said, nothing.
That's not true. When he first came up, you could scare him. You could knock him off the plate, and he didn't like to get hit. And so you could buy some of the outside part of the plate on him. You could cut a fastball in on him. He hit left-handed.
I think that elbow
arm.
And
for a right-handed pitcher, he didn't like to get hit. But once he got that armor on his arm, once he got the armor on, it was game over.
Yeah.
Once he took that fear away, there was nothing you could do.
Yeah.
And really, Pruick, is that fair if you're a pitcher? I mean, really, for these guys coming up there wearing that stuff? I mean, to me, that's just wrong. I don't agree with that.
No, I don't agree with it either, Jinx. And you know, it's at least gotten better. I mean, I can remember when Craig Biggio first came up, he had a pad on it. It looked like it came off the sofa in his den. It was so big. And he did that to me in Houston. He leaned in, and he let this thing just flick the pad. I said, okay, you want to get hit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll hit you somewhere
else. And the next
one,
I put one in his back, it ticks you off. It ain't fair. Takes away the fear. And what did Koufax say about pitching? Pitching's intimidation.
Good Lord. Yeah.
What?
That's great. It all.
Kirk, thank you so much. I know you're busy. You're going to be on TV today.
Got to go to work, Marty.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Jinx, thanks for the swell report. I'll be thinking about you bobbing in the water here in about an hour.
All right, man. I hope I make it.
All right. Kruk is leaving. Bruce, stay with me just for a second here.
Sure.
Well, that's pure baseball, isn't it?
Yeah. Kruk's the best. It's amazing recall, and he's got a knack for storytelling that is just priceless and enlivens every broadcast he's ever been on, for my money.
Amazing. This calls for Clamato juice.
Well, it really does. I'm pouring one right here. A little vodka in it today. A little hot twist here. Because
really?
Giants coming up, what the heck, you know.
Really? All right. Well, the other, you know, tomorrow, you're going to be on with me tomorrow, and there's some things I want to talk to you tomorrow about. And one is, and Howard Bryant brought this up to me the other day, that we have La Russa, Bobby Cox going in, Joe Torre going in, and it's known that probably, more likely than not, steroid players played for them and won many games for them. But the managers walk in and nobody says anything about it. And Howard brought up, and I said, I never thought about it.
Yeah, I was in the room when the vote came down. I was part of that committee that voted them in.
Okay.
With Lasorda and Whitey Herzog and Ripken and, Molitor and Phil Niekro and Andre Dawson Fisk. It was quite a thing. We're not really allowed to discuss that in a lot of detail, except for the fact that you know, they what's to say they coast it in. I mean, they, those guys are remembered above all as great managers, and that's just going to be the end of the argument for these guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow, but Howard brought it up, and he's going to be on with us a little later today,
yeah.
And I thought it's a good subject for you.
No, it is, without a doubt, yeah.
All right. Have a good afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 11:30 tomorrow. I think it's 11:30, right, Bruce?
Yeah. Sounds good, Marty.
All right. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
You bet.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. What a pleasure. That is pure baseball, let me tell you that. All right.